We're still in the Easter season, that's why we're still got the gold up and I'm wearing the white stole. We're still struggling with the question, what on earth does the resurrection mean for us now? Last week we looked at the story of the Good Shepherd. And if you were here or you heard this on the podcast, you will remember we talked about the Good Shepherd being a contrast with the Bad Shepherd. That shepherds were, everybody wanted to be a shepherd who ruled a country or an empire. They wanted to be seen as looking after their people. But the scriptures of the Hebrews that we call the Old Testament was vehemently against those who, as the prophet Ezekiel said, you've been feeding yourselves when you should have been feeding the sheep. This week we've got another image that's full of import. Everybody wanted to be a shepherd if they ruled a country. Israel was always talked about as the vine, all the way through the Hebrew scriptures. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus said. So he's invoking already something that's much bigger than just this little story that he's telling his disciples. It's about the whole nation, if you like, the whole world. Israel was the vine, and it's constantly critiqued for not being rooted in the energy and the love of God. So last week, Jesus said he was the good shepherd, which assumes there's a bad shepherd, and there is. So if Jesus is the true vine, as he tells us in this text, who is the false vine? Who are the ones who are the counterfeit? It's often been read, John's Gospel, as if it's a critique between Jesus and the Jews. They're often called the Jews in John's Gospel. But of course, it's not as simple as that because Jesus himself was a Jew. What we think Jesus is doing here is contrasting himself and the message he has with those who are trying to control and run the community for their own benefit. A bit like the false shepherds, the bad shepherds who feed themselves and not the sheep. It's Jesus promoting a grassroots all of human life against the temple power of those who want to structure the world so that there's social division. Some are at the top and some are at the bottom. Jesus has got a completely different view than that. We're not in a dissimilar world. We don't have a temple authority, but we do have authority. And it's vested in the markets, which has become for us the unassailable truth of the world. For example, right here, right now in Australia, and for at least the last 30 years, we have decided that housing is an investment like gold or diamonds or art. The purpose of it is to escalate in price so that those who have invested gain. But we could have another view about housing, that it's a human right, that everyone should be able to access safe, secure and affordable housing. It's a vision of the dignity of humans over against the idea of investment that always means some will lose and some will win. Usually a much smaller percentage of people win than lose. So we're not in a dissimilar situation of Jesus telling his story about the vine. I am the vine and you are the branches. This is not a nice religious statement so we can feel comfortable. Just as we said last week, the good shepherd is not a nice religious statement so we can feel comforted by God. Although those things can happen. This is a statement about the reality of the world. We are all of one place. We are all of one people. Whether we like it or not, whether we're willing to live with it or not, doesn't alter the truth of it. We know that. We know that our DNA is interconnected with each other, that we all come from the same roots. We pretend that we're different. We divide by how we vote, how we dress, how we speak, what we eat, where we were born, all of those sorts of things. But it's always a lie. It's never true. The truth is, we are one united, connected community. In fact, we're one united, connected cosmos. We're discovering to our cost that when we think we are separate from the rest of nature, we do everything damage. It's always a lie, but we're so used to thinking this way. We're so used to living this way, even from the first days we go to school, where we try to differentiate each other. And who's the smartest in our school? Who's the best looking in our class? We do it right from the beginning. This is why we find the environmental needs, the changes that we need to make, so hard. Because we think it's okay for us to do one thing here because it won't affect us in the rest of the world, but we know that it does. So we live with a kind of dichotomy. I am the vine and you are the branches. It's a statement of fact. Abide in me as I abide in you. That simply means just live in the truth of it. Abiding is a strange thing. It's not something you do. It's just something you are. There's not a list of things to be done in order to be abiding. You just are. You just need to be aware of it and open to it. It's living, it's dwelling, it's being present. It's reflecting, not action. We're not very good at that. We like to do things. We don't like the idea that we just are. It's about living and seeing what arises. This is what First Nations people in Australia can teach us. They can teach us many things about how not to destroy our environment, how to protect it over long term. But another thing they can teach us is to be present. To be here and observe. Some years ago, one of the elders in Alice Springs, an auntie, was invited to take a group of scholars, the scientists, religious scholars and other people, out into country. From Alice Springs. And they all got into their troopies, their four-wheel drives, and they started to drive, and they got about 8 or 10 minutes out of town. And if you know Alice Springs at all, you can be in the middle of nowhere 8 or 10 minutes out of town. Got 8 or 10 minutes out of town, and Auntie Ruth said, stop. They stopped the truck. We'll all get out. So we got out, and everybody got out and sat on a sand dune. She didn't say anything. They looked at each other and said, Honey Ruth, I thought we were going out to country. She said, well, this is country. It's all country. Just sit down. So they sat longer in the sun and the flies. And then they said, well, Honey Ruth, what are you going to teach us? We've come all this way. It takes a lot of effort to get to Alice Springs. She said, it's this. I don't know whether I'd been with her on these trips before, and I didn't get it either, and I still don't get it. This is it. Here, now, this. That's what abiding is. It's a being aware of the truth of it. Cardinal Basil Hume, the late Cardinal of the United Kingdom, used this little creed all the time. It says this. We believe that every human being is made in the image and likeness of God and possesses a dignity and value which can never be taken away. We believe that as children of the one God, we are one family with mutual responsibility for each other. That's a truth. That's abiding. But then the text goes on. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered together, thrown into the fire and burned. Does this mean fire and brimstone that we were taught, some of us as children? Is this what it really comes down to? You do the right thing, you shape up, or it's the fire for you. We kind of want to read it that way, don't we? But abiding, of course, is knowing that we are one community. It's resting in the truth of that we are one. If we try to live as if we're alone, we're living a lie. If we try to live as if we're doing it by ourselves, that's a lie. It separates us out from each other. So we end up living a lie on so many levels, and it separates us from ourselves. It feels true that things are separate, that you and I are different to each other, that I am worse or better than you, I am better looking or worse looking than you, I am. It feels like that, but it's not true. And when we do feel separated out, we recognize that there are people who are much better than us, much cleverer than us, much richer than us. And we separate ourselves out and we begin to do what this text says, we wither. Because we don't tell ourselves the truth. That we need each other, that we are each other. Well, the text says that it's hyperbolic, if you like, it's a metaphor. It's inviting us to realize that if we do not experience the truth of the world as it is, then we do wither, we do lose our place. We do feel as if we might as well be tossed on the fire because we're of no value to each other. And we're quite willing to do it to other people. We're quite willing to sacrifice others for our own good. And we do that everywhere, whether it's in the wars that we know are in the world today, or that's even to our own shame, the clothes we wear. We know being made by people who are not paid a living wage and do not have the conditions that they should have. And yet we feel stuck in this system. So much of it needs to be pruned away, that, as Jesus says. All those things we think about at 2 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep. All the relentless classifying and measuring that we do against ourselves and against each other. All of that needs to be pruned away. And it will be, and it is, if we let it be. Because Jesus says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine grower, or a much better translation is the gardener. And this is what we know about God above everything else, is that God is a gardener. It is God who creates the world as a gardener. That's the great story that the Hebrews tell. It creates the world as a gardener and puts the people in the garden to enjoy it. That's the way the world is supposed to be. We're supposed to live in this world and again and with each other as if it's a garden that we enjoy, full of abundance. That's the fruit that grows, the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about, of love and joy and patience and kindness. I want to live in a place where everyone loves me and enjoys me and is patient with me and is kind to me. And I want to imagine that if that were to be the case, I might turn out to start loving other people and enjoying them and being patient with them and being kind to them. That would be a good world to be in. That would be the world of the garden. I am the vine, you are the branches, we are one people, all of humanity, all of creation. That can enjoy the fruit of each other, of love, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. That's not a bad one either. Abide in me and I will abide in you. No, it's not that. It's abide in me as I abide in you. So different. Abide in me as it's already true. Abide in me. I'm already abiding in you. Be it. Be with it. Be in it.